Well, happy Sabbath, everybody. The title for my message was touched on already by Dana, and that is The Big Picture, Proverbs 29:18. So let's go ahead and start there. We'll go ahead and start there. I know Dana had us go there earlier, but let's go back there and read it because I'm going to come at this a little bit differently. And God must have something he wants us to think about when it regards to vision. So Proverbs 29:18, I'm going to read this out of the NASB to start. It says, "Where there is no vision or revelation, the people are unrestrained," or in the New King James, "perish. But happy is he who keeps the law." So today I want to dive into that scripture. I want to actually see what that means a little bit more in depth. If you look at the scriptures, it's comprised of two key components: vision and law. So if we break it down into these two key components, we're going to look at the vision and the law. Furthermore, this scripture actually goes into the effects of not having vision and the effects of having law, how it affects us in our lives. So first, vision and the negative effects of not having that vision. Let's look at the word vision. So in the Hebrew, the word vision is H2377, kazan. One definition that I really want to bring out here and keep in mind, a sight mentally, something you have in your mind, a vision, an oracle or revelation, a vision. I really want to focus on that definition because I think it really applies to our calling and to what's important in this scripture for us to understand. A mental vision, a mental sight. Seeing the big picture is kind of how I would paraphrase it or look at it. Seeing the big picture. Mentally having that vision of God's plan, the big picture and what it's all about. You think about it, we sit here as the world goes about their day. We sit here and we've been given this incredible vision. We have the answers to why were we created. We have the answers to what life is about. We have the answers of how to live. That should be an incredible vision we keep with us every single day, but especially during this holy day season. We should have that big picture and that vision in our mind. So what happens in life without that vision? Well, the Hebrew word is unrestrained. And for unrestrained, it's H6544, and it's para. And it has an interesting meaning. It says to let go, let loose, ignore, or to let alone. I'm not going to pronounce this properly, so I'll spell it. It's G-E-S-E-N-I-U-S. And he has a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon that he put together. And how he sums it up is this way. To overlook, reject as counsel. To let the rein loose to anybody. To let go unbridled, to become unbridled, lawless. So take a second to think about that. Let's pull back for a second and think about what's going on in this world in relationship to their God and their Creator. Does this describe the world we live in? We live in a world that overlooks and rejects counsel. Everyone is right in their own eyes. And you know, more and more, it's a very narcissistic society, isn't it? Social media, everything that goes on, it's about people being about themselves. So people do not seek out counsel. The reins are being let loose to anybody, to anyone. Think about that. Everyone gets to declare what is right or wrong. The reins are let loose and people wander aimlessly through life. How many people do you know that don't understand a purpose and just wander aimlessly through life? The reins are let loose. They have no guidance. They have no direction. And the world is unbridled. Structure and guidance are not there, giving away to lawlessness. And that's what it yields, is lawlessness. So when we do not have vision, in the world scene, the world does not have vision. And this is what it will evolve to. This is where it goes, unrestrained. This is what happens in the world. But let's take it to a personal level. How about ourselves? Because we can ask this about ourselves. Do you, do I, do we keep alive the focus and vision that God has given us? Or do we at times tend to become let loose, unbridled, unrestrained in the way we live? Do we keep that big picture alive? So I have a question, and I kind of want to focus on this and go back to it. Is do we have vision and do we see the big picture? Do we have vision and do we see the big picture in our daily life? And this is really a question we should ask ourselves often. The brilliant thing about this scripture, Proverbs 29:18, is that it gives us the answer to that question. It actually gives us the answer to that question. And the answer is right there in the second half of the verse, and we'll go ahead and read it again. But happy is he who keeps the law. I want to read that again. But happy is he who keeps the law. Bear with me, but I really want to emphasize that point because there's something that we can read over here. Happy. Happy is he who keeps the law. It's also really important to understand what's not said here. What's not said here is justified is he who keeps the law. What's not said here is more righteous is he who keeps the law. What's not said here is better than others is he who keeps the law. What is said here is happy is he who keeps the law. There's a reason it says that, and there's a reason we need to pay attention to, and it's also the answer to the question I asked you. So let's look at that definition of happy. What is it? In the Hebrew, it's H835, eshir. It says happiness, only in masculine plural construction as interjection. How happy, with an exclamation point. Blessed and happy. In the Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon, he puts it this way, happiness, where it is a force of interjection. As, oh, how happy is the man. Happy is he who chooses. Happy art thou, with exclamation points. Do we see what's being painted here, the picture here? This should be a joy and a happiness that dwells in us. That's what comes from keeping the law. That's what's being said here. Happy. Do we share that happiness about the law? Do we have that vision? Do we see the big picture? You know, when you think about it, the law gives us a vision. The law gives us a vision. It shows us God's plan. We're commanded to keep God's holy days. That's a vision of what happens for us and for mankind. Those holy days give us that vision. Remind us of that vision on a yearly basis. Keep that vision fresh in our mind. Keep that vision alive in us. It's the big picture. With that vision, we all should desire to keep God's law. And if we keep God's law as is intended to be kept, you know what's going to come of that? Happiness. Happiness. There will be an unquenched happiness and joy that is deep within each and every one of us if we are keeping God's law as intended. And it shows us that vision. So you could sum up Proverbs 29:18 this way. Having a vision for the future, knowing God's plan, keeping God's law, which in large part gives us that vision, results in us being happy. So having a vision of the future, keeping God's law, results in us being happy. Real simple, huh? Sounds simple, doesn't it? So are you happy? I mean, really, are you happy? You know, God's way is simple. It's just not easy. But it is simple. So we shouldn't look at things that are simple and dismiss them. We should look at things that are simple and say, how can I become simple? You know, how can I get there and become simple and get rid of the clutter? So, we're the ones with our own carnal, selfish nature that kind of take scripture and mess it up. And common perceptions that we have or thoughts we've had in the past can kind of actually get in our way of finding that simple path with God, of seeing these things simply. So I talked about being justified, more righteous, and better than others by the law. We tend to bring that in where it's not there. You know, that's not what's being written to us. That's not where the blessing is. The blessing is happiness. And it is a simple blessing, but it's something we need to remember. Again, the point I want to emphasize is this. If we are keeping God's law as intended, we will be happy. And that happiness will show. And that happiness will be infectious, should be infectious to others. Should be what we're known for. Really, it should be what we're known for. You think about it, of all people in the world, who should be happiest but us? We understand things. Shouldn't that make you happy? But some of us might think, well, you know, what about trials? What about our sins? What about the difficulties in life? This sounds like a Pollyanna view, doesn't it? You know, all Pollyanna, it's all simple and nice, and just do this, do that, and here it is. Well, don't dismiss it as such, because sometimes that Pollyanna view is what we need, because we convolute things, and we mess things up. So yes, I'll just say this. Yes, hardships will happen in life. We will have trials. That's a reality. And we can sin, and we can become discouraged at times, right? But I want to really emphasize this. The underlying feeling we should have, even through all this, is happiness. I know that sounds like a little conflict, doesn't it? Going through those things, there still should be an underlying feeling in our hearts and our minds of happiness. And one of those reasons is Romans 8:28. You know, I'll just read that. It says, "And we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." You know what? You're sitting here today. You've been called by the Father according to his purpose. So if we believe the simplicity of that scripture, all things are going to work together for good. If we honestly believe the simplistic view of everything that we've read here, then we should have happiness in that. Even through those trials, even through those difficulties, even through those struggles. There should be an underlying happiness that we can pin our hopes on several scriptures, let alone this one, that tell us God will be the author and finisher of our faith. He will see us through. The things that we are going through, you can look at the chastisement he talks about for a son, because he loves us. So if we're going through trials, if we're struggling with things, it's because God's trying to correct us and bring us into alignment. He cares. He cares about each and every one of us. You sitting here is a display of God's love for you. When you go through trials, it's not a punishment. It's actually a display of God's love for you. Do we think of it that way? It really is. Otherwise, you want to refute what's said in the Word of God. Otherwise, you think God isn't doing all things for good. No, he's doing all things for good. And when we remember that when we keep the vision in mind, the end goal, the big picture. Christ gave us the perfect example of that. So we'll go ahead and read about that, because Christ did go through struggles. Christ went through sins. Christ went through things that we will never, ever go through. You know that? And how did Christ do it? Well, one thing for sure is Christ had to have the vision. He had to have a big picture. And he had to focus on that constantly. So let's go ahead and turn over to Hebrews 12. We'll go ahead and read Hebrews 12, and we'll read verses 1 through 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." I just want to pause here for a second and really bring this out. Christ went through everything he went through for the joy that was set before him. Do you not think that through all his trials and all his struggles, he had a joy inside of him, knowing what it would produce? He absolutely did. He despised the shame. He didn't worry about the shame. He didn't worry about what people thought of him. He didn't worry about how he looked. He didn't worry about all the things that we tend to get hung up on. He despised that. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm going to do this because I have a purpose. I have a focus, and I have a focus and a vision, and it's going to bring joy for all eternity. So continuing on, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. We need to remember this. We shouldn't become weary and discouraged. We need to have that same vision that Christ had, same vision that Christ has, and the same vision he's given us. You have not yet resisted bloodshed, striving against sin, exhort, and you have not forgotten, and you have forgotten the exhortation, thank you. Brain just got there. You have not forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastising, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the father does not chastise? We all correct our children and try to teach them the right way. But it's because we love them. But if you are without chastising, of which we have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who have corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed, for a few days, chastened us as it seemed best for them, but he, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. So again, that chastisement, this just reinforces what was written in Romans 8:28. He does it for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. So there's times where it doesn't feel joyful at the present. But grievous, nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit and righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. So we need to have that vision that Christ had. We need to remember that he went through much more than we went through. We need to remember that God's holy days give us an vision of an incredible plan. You know, we should have that joy, and I loved how Dana touched on that. You know, we should talk about it. We should think about it. We should meditate on it. We should discuss it in the right way. You know, just think out, fantasize about the kingdom of God in the right way. What's it going to be like? We've got a lot written in here that we can read through and understand. But do we keep that vision daily? We need to. It's really, really important to keep that vision. Have that big picture in our lives. So I'm going to ask you, are you genuinely happy? Why don't you think about that? With everything that's going on in your life, good times, bad times, everything, are you genuinely happy? Really happy inside. The happiness that goes through the ups and downs. The happiness that looks forward to the kingdom. The happiness that sees the hope, the future, the vision. Because if you can't answer that as yes, if you're struggling with that, then I have a suggestion for you. You better check your vision.